Here today is on the back of your worship leaflet, and it's from the 12th chapter of Mark, verses 38 through 44, and we'll take those verses today from the New International Version, Mark 12, 38 through 44. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect at the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more money into the treasury than all the others, for they gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Ryan, are you having a nice time at home? Yeah, good. Good, for the most part, yeah. Your sister, yeah. Good, I'm glad. She's a nice sister. Good to see you, buddy. Mark Twain often used his quick wit to sting people's social consciences, and he once said, "Man is the only animal that blushes or needs to." High society, he was a Missourian. Now, you know, we got to own him a little bit, whether we agree with him or not, Mark Twain. High society, he explained, consists in hiding how much we think of ourselves and how little we think of others. Ooh. On truth-telling, he pointed out, one of the most startling differences between a cat and a lie is that a cat has only 9 lives. On friendship, Mark Twain cynically observed, it takes your enemy and your friend working together to hurt you to the heart. The one to slander you and the other to get the news to you as quickly as possible. A businessman of very questionable ethics once said to Mr. Twain, he said, "Before I die, I want to go to the Holy Land and climb to the top of Mount Sinai and read the 10 commandments aloud." To which Twain replied, "I have a better idea. Why don't you stay right here and keep them?" Maybe a little closer to home for many of us are these words attributed to the famous writer, to Twain. He said, "It's not the passages in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the ones I do understand that pester me." Our verses today from Mark 12 include a message that we can't fail to understand, but in varying degrees it might pester us. Jesus is watching as the members of the worshiping community deposit their temple offerings into the big bronze collection horns. And those big bronze horns were shaped like megaphones, so when you threw in the precious coins, everyone with an earshot could hear the clinks and the jingles as the money rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled downward into the coffers. Wealthier people were tossing in large sums, lots of coins, no doubt gold and silver specimens, and then this poor widow comes along and puts in a tiny, tiny amount. Probably around 50, 75 cents, but by our measurements today. And Jesus then calls for his disciples' attention and says, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all who are contributing to the treasury, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had." Now, obviously, just by sheer arithmetic, the wealthier people put in a lot more money than the widow, just basic addition tells us that. So Jesus must have had another measurement, a different standard of gauging how much that gift was. And our Lord's standard has to do with proportion and worship. Worship and proportion. The widow's gift was all she had to live on, according to Christ, while the others gave out of their extras. The woman's offering then was all, was everything that she had available to drop into the offering of the Lord. It's a little like that old preacher's story about a chicken and a pig walking together when they pass a local cafe, and the cafe sign said, "Breakfast special, ham and eggs, all you care to eat." And the pig and the chicken read the sign. They were very bright animals, the chicken and the pig. They could read, you see. And the chicken commented, "I feel sorry for the bird who had to give up all those eggs for these greedy humans." The pig replied, "I feel worse for the hog. His was a total commitment." The widow's gift was a total commitment, the offering of everything. Others gave out of the surplus. They gave something out of the overflow. And more than we think, more than I remember, I know, it's a matter of proportion. And it's a matter of worship. Keep in mind, they're making these offerings at the temple in the context of worship and devotion. And the widow's gift of everything was a symbol of giving her all to God, heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Nothing was held back. The offering was not just money. It had to symbolize the giving of all of who she was to the Lord, her maker. Now, the others' gifts were accepted and they were welcomed, but Jesus noticed that perhaps their worship was not as thorough, not so completely devoted. Consecration that maybe was not quite fully baked. I think of the little Texas girl, little Texas gal, who just turned 10 years old, and she received in the mail a birthday gift from a great aunt who lived in Indiana. And auntie's gift to the 10-year-old was a homemade pincushion that the woman had sewn herself. And of course, the little girl was pressed to write a thank you note to her Indiana auntie, and this is what she wrote. "Dear Aunt Minnie, thank you so much for the pretty pincushion. It's just what I've always wanted, but not very much." The other givers that day were worshiping. They were giving to God, but in proportion to the widow, their offerings were not very much. The woman's gift of everything she possessed paralleled the unconditional surrender of her entire being to the Lord Almighty. I like the little story about the young man who approached his girlfriend's father and said, "Sir, there's something important I would like to ask you. I was wondering if, would you, I was wondering whether, I was thinking about I might be," whereupon the father grabbed the young man's hand, shook it warmly, said, "Of course, my boy." With enthusiasm, he replied, "Certainly, I will give you permission for my daughter's hand. Her happiness is the only thing in all the world that's important to me." Well, the young man was then completely puzzled. "Permission?" He said, "Oh, no, no, sir, that's not it. It's that my car payment was due last Tuesday, and I don't have the money for it. I was asking maybe if you would please, sir, foot me the money, then I'll pay you back after a few weeks." The father snapped back, "Certainly not, young man. I hardly know you." See, Papa was willing to commit his own daughter, maybe, but not his money. A favorite Christian writer of mine, the late Presbyterian Reverend Charlie Shedd, I loved him. He literally and truly helped the life of a number of preachers and leaders and congregations by the little books he wrote on a number of practical church topics, one of them being stewardship. And for nearly 40 years, Dr. Shedd said this to churches. He said, "Give to God's kingdom until it feels good. then give a little more until you feel a pinch. Give to the kingdom of heaven until it feels good, then just a little more until you feel a pinch. You see, the feel good is in the extra, the excess, the surplus. The pinch part is when it turns, suggested Dr. Shedd, when it turns into real worship. Let's see, I saw Lloyd here this morning, didn't I, or didn't I? And then he's gone. Okay, hope everything's all right. Listen, the lollipop row here, you got it right here. All right. Well, Lloyd has a saying that goes something like this. We dig a little deeper. We dig a little deeper and we reach a little higher and we give a little extra. And then we feel really good by what we gave for the outcome of something great. I'm paraphrasing Lloyd on that. In the opening verses of our passage today, Jesus instructs the disciples to be aware of certain individuals who, by his description of them, must have been real pains. He says, beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes and like to have salutations in the synagogues, the best places of honor and seats at the feasts. And, you know, no doubt we've come upon those types now and then, puffed up people, pontificators, status seekers, always trying to impress, always reaching for kudos and compliments. It's likely, I think, that the scribe who fit this mold would prefer the company of the very wealthy who put in large sums, but perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps lesser sacrifices. And scribes would prefer hobnobbing with them over and above the company of the regular people, like the widow who put in that tiny sum, but it was for her a hefty sacrifice. One very important measure of a human being includes what that person has lovingly done for others, but also this standard. What have others done because of the positive influence of that good person? We treasure people who love and give and share. We deeply love the ones who inspire us to be better men and women. 2,000 years after the event, the gospel story of the widow's mite has been told centuries upon generations, continues to be told throughout the world. And it's not about the showy demonstrations of casual givers, but it highlights the ones who give worshipfully, specifically, sacrificially, out of the overflow of their hearts. January 1, I know that we might not like to think of it, but January 1 will be here soon, before we know it, and the 2020 church budget will begin. If you can set the bar of generosity just a little higher, speaking of myself too, just a little higher, give to the point where an extra pinch feels good, then God will be praised. The church will be blessed and will follow our commitment to Jesus Christ with joy. Celebrity status, no doubt, captivated that scribe. Poor widows had no status whatsoever. And yet it's the spirit of the widow that's endured throughout the ages and will continue to go on for an eternity, a poignant symbol of a right relationship with the living God. I think you know this story too, but I like it, about a little boy who ran up to a high fence one summer day and he stopped and considered the high fence for a while. Then he did something strange. He took off his ball cap and threw it up over the fence. And seeing this, a man standing nearby asked, "Son, why did you do that?" And he replied, "I need to get to the other side, and I thought if I threw my cap over there, I'd try extra hard to climb over." When is it time for you and me to present our worship offerings? Well, every Sunday we have that opportunity. Let's remember Jesus' message. Let's not be the modern-day scribes hoping for pats on the back and hearty handshakes of congratulations. Let's not fold our $10 bills four or five times, hoping that our neighbor thinks it's a one. But let's give enough to make us feel like trying to keep it up. Think of the boy who threw his cap over the fence. And even more, let's think of that poor widow. And instead of throwing our caps, let's consider about throwing our hearts up and toward and over good goals for this coming year. And only the Lord knows what truly wonderful things could happen. Amen.